Tuesday, December 3rd. Gus Cottingale with Jordan Kleber across from me. Coming up on today's show, you're here from head coach Sean Payton. He's already spoken with the media Thursday conference chat. You'll hear from quarterback Taysom Hill. He spoke yesterday. Cam Jordan, also Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, who I have said is absolutely required every week. I need me some Chauncey. Love number 22. So we'll hear from him and also your normal Thursday guest list and lineup with an addition of a guest or maybe even two. Chris Blair, voice of the LSU Fighting Tigers, will join us at 12:30 to preview Bama Tigers Saturday. How do you think that's going to go? 7 o'clock on CBS. We'll ask him. He had the Coach O had his coach's show yesterday. So had a chance to speak with Coach yesterday. So we'll pass along some of the info that he got from doing that with him. Gary Smith, the Picayune and Advocate, covers the Tulane Green Wave. He's going to join us. Big news yesterday. It became official. We've been hearing a lot about it. We touched on it yesterday on the show. Will Hall, Tulane's offensive coordinator. He will be in the game this weekend, Saturday, Tulane and Memphis in the season finale, regular season finale. But yesterday he was officially named as Southern Miss's new head football coach. So we'll speak with Gary Smith as it looks like Chip Long is going to be the offensive coordinator for Tulane. That's where it's heading. So the very latest, we'll have that from Gary Smith. Mike Triplett's going to join us at 1:15. Ross Jackson's going to go tomorrow. Ben Heisler, your fantasy football questions. That's coming up at 1:30. Jordan, are you still in it? Are you still in fantasy football world, or are you out of it?
You didn't even realize that I beat you this past week.
We played?
We played.
1:30, we'll find out how I lost that game. Coming up with Ben Heisler from Sports Illustrated at 1:45. We'll speak with Mike from Men's Total Health, see what's going on with him. And then at 2:05, Andrew Legretta, normally 1:45, will do him at 2:05. Want a little extra time to get his thoughts on what's going on with the Wave. And also, Hoops has also started, so get his opinions on that. And then Lee Sterling coming up at 2:15. So that's your show pretty much here on this Thursday. 800-998-1003 is the way to chime into the conversation. You can also do so on Twitter at ESPN Radio NOLA. Yesterday, did you see it? Did you watch it? Did you stream it? Ravens and Steelers, they played yesterday. 19-14 was the final. Steelers with the win, they improve to 11-0 on the season. Mike Tomlin, the head coach, not happy at all with how his team looked. Look, you watched that game, or if you did or not, the Ravens scored 7 in the first, nothing in the second and third, 7 in the fourth. Both of these teams here, yeah, exactly. You just dozed off while I was telling you. That's what Tomlin was basically saying yesterday. It's just, you know, you're supposed to play last Thursday, and then it was moved to Sunday, then it was Tuesday, and then it's Wednesday. By the way, both of these teams have games this weekend. What are you fist pumping for? I mean, they have games like 2 days from now, for 3 days, whatever. Yes, 3 days, right? Incredible. Hey, but that all is good. What was it yesterday? You pointed it to me. What did Comrade Goodell say that he was really proud of how the NFL is? He said that all is well. It's something like that. I'm paraphrasing, but wasn't it something like that? Like all is well. I thought that's kind of what he said when you pointed it to me. All is well. Yesterday, remember, head coach Sean Payton said when he spoke with media in the morning, he wasn't going to tell us if there is any additional COVID protocol for his quarterbacks or what exactly his COVID protocol is. Either way, he spoke today. Spoke a little bit about Taysom Hill. Spoke a little bit about the Falcons, of course. Their defense, pretty good. They've improved, right? Improved. How many turnovers? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 turnovers against the Raiders this past weekend. Sean Payton, what he saw on film about that?
Last week, they took the ball away 5 times. And it just looked like they were a tick step faster to the spot than Vegas. They did it with pressure. They did it with ball disruption. They intercepted it. They recovered fumbles. I think they're playing with confidence. I think you're seeing a little bit more pressure from them than in past. And you got a veteran group, an experienced group that I think is playing exceptionally well.
So, again, look, it's how I felt going into that series or into that game. you know what it's like when you play the Falcons. You have to look at them regardless of record, and you have to look at them as a team that absolutely has the ability to beat you. I get the defense had an outstanding performance against them. 8 sacks. 11 quarterback hits, 11 pass defenses. It was a spectacular game. I mean, the chances, the odds that that happens again, probably on high. Might be a closer game. I mean, that really wasn't that big of a win. I mean, it was a beating for poor Matt Ryan. So it's interesting to see what will happen in this game. But again, the Saints defense right now, playing pretty well. So, we talked a lot about this yesterday. Sean Payton deciding at the very end, right? Right before the game against Denver, as he mentioned several times, based on their lack of quarterbacks, he changed the game plan. He's going to be very conservative and very safe. One of the reasons, I think, it's because he has confidence in that defense. A, they don't have a quarterback. But B, he has confidence in them. I think, and again, we talked about that last week. I asked Ross Jackson last week, and I'm kind of feeling again on this Thursday that I'm, okay, I'm buying them. I'm buying them. Even if they didn't have a quarterback, Jordan, they still stopped the Bronco run game. You're getting turnovers. You're getting to the quarterback, whether it's the Falcons, the Broncos, the Niners. You are seeing this team stop the run. You're seeing them now get pressure on the quarterback, and now you're starting to see the turnovers. You're seeing the safeties play better. So I'm buying in. I am buying the defense has improved and gotten better. Sean Payton this morning, has he had a rise in confidence on his defense?
Well, it goes hand in hand usually with success. When you play well, you begin to expect to play well. You have confidence, and then you repeat that because you've demonstrated it over and over again. And so it's good to see. It's good to see this time of the year. Get another challenging opponent this week in Atlanta, but it generally is born out of having had success.
So obviously, the more times the defense makes stops, the more times that he has confidence in it. Right, makes a lot of sense for sure. Sean Payton was asked, of course, about Taysom Hill still running that football and being a strong runner. I had this to say.
Yeah, that's part of it. Obviously, you can run that scheme with someone that's not as comfortable reading it. He does a pretty good job of reading it, breaking through a soft tackle, and there's a physicality that comes with that run.
And he mentions, obviously, what specifically, Jordan, a play, being able to run power with the quarterback and what he can sort of provide since he is that kind of a runner.
Well, it's a gap scheme, so you're getting some double teams at the point of attack. You're pulling a guard. You go either way with it. You get an extra guy in your count because the snap's going directly to the ball carrier, and you're able to spread the defense out a little bit. But it's not a new design. I mean, it's relatively old. And, when your ball carrier is the person receiving the snap, you're back to playing 11-on-11.
One of the things, obviously, that's helped and improved the Saints defense, and especially with the injury that happened to Sheldon Rankins. Look, David Onyemata last year, I thought, played really well. He's played really well again this year, and he continues to really help. 15 solo tackles. He has 5 sacks on the season, even that interception. So Onyemata's played really well. Coach Payton this morning on the kind of season David's had.
Well, you got a couple things. He's playing very well. Man, it's good to see he's healthy. Number two, he's played a little bit more. Sheldon's been out, and he's just someone that bends well. He plays with such good leverage, and so I think when you factor a couple of those things together, you're seeing the result.
Finally, this morning, Coach Payton was asked about how perhaps, and if so at all, last year's success, the year before that as well, has any bearing whatsoever on his feelings and mood. What are you grinning by? What are you grinning about on this? I mean, there's no reason to grin about this. This is a, you got to know how he feels. Got to know how he feels about the fact that you're grinning. Coach Payton, can you reflect on last year's success and how it might impact how you feel this year?
Look, I think it's this year, really, and I think it's making the corrections, and I think it's you know, you have a game in Chicago, you play well, then you follow it up in Tampa Bay. I think it can happen on one weekend. It can happen in the second half of a game, and then you begin to see this is what it can be like, and then certainly as coaches, you know, what can we do? What can we do to help them more? I think all of those things.
There you go. What do you grit? Why do you have the elf on the yes, you knew exactly what I was going to say. You have this perpetual grin for some reason. I don't really know why. Just talking about looks. I think what the basis of the question and his answer is essentially is how do you continue to build on it and maintain and stay with it? And he's just saying, look, it kind of feeds itself. You know, you have one game, you win, great, you move on to the next one. And then if you win, there's your success, and that momentum is sort of built that way, right? That's my guess on it. I know why you're grinning. I know exactly why you're grinning. You're waiting for Travis to call, aren't you?
No.
I saw the headline this morning.
AD.
5 years, 190.
That's not why.
You're not excited about 5 years, 190 with the Lakers? AD? Tied to LeBron through at least the 2022-23 season since LeBron signed a 2-year extension yesterday or agreed to it, whatever.
I'm ecstatic.
I mean, the enthusiasm in your voice is incredible because I saw it this morning.
My enthusiasm?
No, the enthusiasm on all the networks.
Ah.
Oh, yeah. How many? How many more titles? They got him winning it for the next 5 years, by the way, just letting you know. I think the exact little Chiron generator at the bottom, I think the exact wording was something around this nature. I think it was, is the NBA championship theirs to lose? In other words, it's theirs. They have to lose it.
Just give them the title. And
I don't know why we're playing
if
the season.
If they lose it and just hand
well, I'm
it
just,
off.
I mean, why play the season? I mean, I'm excited to kind of see what the Pels and everybody else can do. Can, you know, Giannis, they're still worried about Giannis not signing that extension to Milwaukee. That was also a topic. They went right back to how many titles the Lakers are going to win. I don't know why. I guess Boston and Miami should even warm up this weekend. You know, get to practice. I mean, it's the Lakers to lose. You didn't know that, Jordan? It's the Lakers championships to lose.
All right, that's the LeBron talk for today.
That's it. That is your update on the LA Lakers.
That's it.
That's it.
More.
I really don't have anything else like that. That's it. Another headline that did pop up in the NBA, though, that is interesting. So the Rockets and Wizards agree on a Russell Westbrook-John Wall trade. Why are you shaking your head about that? Why you don't think that's going to work?
What are the Rockets doing?
What are the Wizards doing?
What are the Wizards?
What are anybody? What
do you mean what are the Wizards?
The blockbuster deal. That's how it's being talked about.
Wizards made up like bandits in that.
Did they?
Yeah, I mean,
so the Wizards are sending Wall and a lottery protected 2023 first round pick to the Rockets for Westbrook in a deal that both players wanted and have been simmering for weeks.
Ooh.
John Wall can't wait to play with Harden.
Can't wait. Yeah.
Can't wait.
People can't wait for him to actually step on the court.
How many players now is that wants a player that's been unable to or looking forward to play with James Harden? Let's see how that goes.
Well, I mean, if John Wall can actually stay healthy, they were showing highlights from like 4 years ago on SportsCenter all over the place. So if he can actually,
it doesn't really sound like you have a lot of confidence in this, by the way.
Well, no, but I mean, the bright side is we finally get to see Boogie and John Wall play together.
Okay, that's right, Boogie.
Houston,
Boogie, man.
What could have been?
Just think about that. Seriously, it's funny how things work in life, isn't it? If Boogie doesn't tear his Achilles,
we don't get to see
John
Wall.
He gets the max. AD may still leave. You're still tied to Boogie on his contract. You may still have that G. I mean, just think. Again, that's why I don't look. Hey, congrats, AD. It is less than you would have been able to sign here with the Pelicans, but he got his championship. He got 190. He's happy. And as I've said then, and I'll say it now going into break, real simple. If that doesn't happen, it doesn't wake up this organization. It doesn't get ownership to go, we're not doing things the way we need to. They don't hire David Griffin. who then doesn't hire the staff that he has, who then doesn't start to set in motion the fact that this actually resembles a real basketball organization. All of that wouldn't have happened if your guy doesn't say that's all, folks. Right? That's it. That's all, folks. Turned out to be a really good thing. When you think about it.
Still waiting for the Instagram.
I am still waiting for the Instagram. We love you, Noah. Hour one is brought to you by the King Firm. Don't hold your breath. 800-998-1003. That's our number. The King Firm's number. You should know that as well. 909-KING is the way to give them a buzz. Jason, Brian, and the crew, they'll take care of you. KingInjuryFirm.com is the website to find out all the different ways they can help you. And when we return, we'll hear from Taysom Hill, getting ready to start his third game against the Falcons. What he had to say on the Falcons team. You'll hear that next on ESPN New Orleans. What's it gonna be
tonight? The winds of change. Avenue Wine and Spirits has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine and Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine and Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 504-522-3864. Never show up empty-handed to a watch party again. Avenue Wine and Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
It was 1972, and in Miami, the Dolphins went undefeated. In New York City, disco was just getting started. And in Houma, the Foster family opened their Terminex business to help protect the good folks of South Louisiana from nasty pests. When you want to sock it to those nasty roaches, termites, and rodents, you want the local pros from Terminex on your side.
So call those Bayou boys. They'll get you Terminex tough.
What happened was unthinkable. Work as we know it powered down. But Etail is here to keep business on. On to turn your home office into a powerhouse. On to plan your epic power lunch. On to keep your virtual team connected. On to make you unstoppable. This is the one thing Etail business can do for you, and that's connecting you to work every day. Etail is on for business.
What would you say you do here?
Sports.
All day long.
Hello, sports fans.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Welcome back. Coming up bottom of the hour, Mr. Chris Blair, voice of the LSU Tigers, Gary Smith. In about a half hour, changes on the Tulane coaching staff as they get ready to take on Memphis. Mike Triplett, Ben Heisler, next hour. Andrew Legretta, Lee Sterling in the final hour. All right, so Taysom Hill getting ready for another game against your Atlanta Falcons. What do you want to start with him? Did we start with basically
with what we were talking about yesterday.
Last game? Dialing it back. You think, again, it was just following orders, though, remember? Following orders. This is what Taysom had to say on that.
Yeah, look, It's a hard thing to manage, you know, and I think mentally, as we got on the bus heading there, I didn't know what was going on with their QB situation. And so I was getting ready to go to Denver to win a football game. And then as we got to Denver, we had all the conversations, you know, I kind of felt like the mindset kind of changed where, hey, we're going to win a football game, but it's almost like let's just not do something to lose it. And so it was a difficult transition, you know, to make for that 24 hours. And then as you step onto the field, I had prepared a certain way, that I needed to start making adjustments and, you know, making sure that we didn't do something silly to lose that football game. So to your second question, now as I transition to this week, I would say my mindset is, you know, obviously Atlanta's been playing really good football. they're a great defense. You know, they got so many weapons offensively that as we prepare for this, you know, we're preparing to go win a football game. And I would say I'm back to that aggressive, like, man, let's go let loose.
So, again, that's his response to how that had to happen in changing the game plan, which I thought was interesting in how he had to say it. So we talked yesterday and had people calling, Jordan, if you remember, on if we're changing the game plan again this week, or do you use the game plan you were prepping for 3 days last week to go into this week's game and all that other stuff. How do you approach this week with the Falcons?
I don't think it changes, honestly. I think this was our schedule last year where we played them, played somebody else, and I don't remember who it was, but then played them again the next week. So we've done it before, and I would say, at least for me and offensively, what we're trying to accomplish, our schedule, our routine, everything is the same, and, you know, we're getting ready to win a football game the same way we did last time against them. You know, obviously there's some elements of, you know, how much carryover do you carry from the last game, and, you know, the coaches will continue to handle that, and we'll make adjustments that way.
One of the things that he touched on as well is, could you be asked to throw, perhaps? And if that happens, how does he think the defense perhaps changes how they attack the Saints offense?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I think when I was coming in before for Drew, you know, there were a few things that they could probably key on. And I don't know what the percentage breakdown is, but I'm sure we're definitely more run heavy than we are pass heavy when I was going in for Drew. And now, you know, defense has to play it honest and play so many different things every snap. So I think that is more advantageous for us offensively.
So there you go. You know, seeing what the defense is going to be able to do, Taysom has confidence that they can do that and move forward. Here's his thoughts on managing the team, managing whatever the game plan is, getting the team in and out the huddle, doing whatever's asked and required of them.
Yeah, look, I've never been in a situation like that, you know, and obviously it's never happened before where you're getting ready to play an opposing team and all of a sudden they don't have a quarterback that can play in the game. So it was a unique experience for me, and I wish I, you know, would have done a few things differently. But, yeah, I think you certainly don't want to take any unnecessary risks. And, you know, I think the conservative nature of the game, you end up in a few situations that you're typically trying to avoid throughout a game. And I don't know what the exact number was or how many third and longs we ended up having. But, you know, it was just the nature of the game. And, you know, I definitely found myself, you know, being more conservative, which, you know, led me to be a little bit late on some of the things that I was trying to do. And, you know, but again, we managed the game and we got the win. And that's what we were, you know, that was the plan, and we did it.
You heard that though, Jordan, even you could hear it in his response though. I've never been in that situation before. And, you know, when you're trying to avoid something, it can create something that you're trying to avoid. That was my point yesterday. You ever try to be too careful and it winds up affecting you? Why are you grinning again? Why do you grin? Do you have something that popped in your head? I mean, you understand what I'm saying? Like, you ever, like, seen somebody? I'll give you a perfect example,
Vegas.
Maybe on the other sport. Well, no, I'm not thinking of it. I'm thinking of, I've seen it in games I've called in basketball. I've seen it against the Pelicans. You ever see, like, perfect case. We want to run the clock down to get the last shot. And you get so careful in doing that, that it's now 4 seconds, 3 seconds. You have to get a shot up. You haven't run any offense, and you jack up a terrible shot, prick, you go into overtime.
Pelicans.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, and I've called it 2-2. I've seen it. It's classic, where you try to be so careful and try to not make a mistake that you You wind up not being in your character. And that's what I was trying to say yesterday. If you practice a game plan all week, you can adjust your calls. But I think telling players, in specific your quarterback, don't mess up. you heard it. I mean, you heard it with him. I've never been in that situation before. That's all I mean by that. It's just very odd. I don't think people listening that have done any kind of coaching, playground level, high school, college, I don't think very often they go tell a player, make sure, now be careful on this play. This is different than you're in the red zone, you know, three, you can win the game. Don't make a turnover. You get what I'm getting at? This isn't like third down and goal, a field goal you have. Don't force anything. That's different than the entire game. Don't fumble. Don't throw an interception and just hand the ball off or hold it. You understand what
you
I'm saying?
You think Sean Payton told Garrett Hartley at the end when he called it, you know, he called the timeout before then, hey, better not miss this to send the city of New Orleans to the Super Bowl.
No, you have the audio of it. He says you're going to go hit it.
Hit the Florida Lee.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Exactly. He wouldn't go, okay, look, there's two crossbars. Don't hit them. I mean, I'm just fascinated by this. That's all. That's all I'm saying. I need to move on from it, don't I?
Yeah.
You think I do?
We talked about it for 3 hours yesterday.
I'm just, okay, fine. Taysom Hill on what is he trying to improve?
I would say just fine-tuning. You know, I would say every play, you kind of have to put a thought process to that play, and you have to marry that to your feet. And I would say I'm still, you know, finalizing all of that thought process, but then being able to adjust based on what the defense is doing. You know, we kind of have a thought in our head of what we're trying to accomplish, and being able to adjust and do that on the fly. So the timing element, making sure that my feet and everything is in sync with what we're trying to accomplish offensively, and the ball is where it needs to be on time. So I would say, again, like as a quarterback, I would say that that's something that I will always work on, you know, making sure my timing, my decisions are quick and clean, and, you know, the ball's out on time, and, you know, typically good things happen when you're doing that well.
Jack, got about 2.5 minutes before we hit the break for Mr. Chris Blair, so you got him. Go.
I talked to you yesterday when you were talking about this. I think this is kind of what you said. You know, Peyton was trying to spin this as Denver couldn't score, so we didn't want to take any chances, and, you know, we just want to walk out there with the game. To me, that's the perfect time to do it, because they could have turned the ball over, and I'm not sure Denver could. The way the defense is playing, I'm not sure Denver could have scored if they would have fumbled on the 10-yard line.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not buying Sean Payton's thing at all. I don't think he has that much confidence that Taysom Hill has commanded his offense. I just think he thinks Hill will turn the ball over less than Jameis. I think that's why he's playing quarterback. And the other day when I was talking to Brian about it, Brian made the point that it was wrong to compare him to Tim Tebow. I think Brian's right, because I think that it's unfair to Tim Tebow. Mm-hmm. Tim Tebow actually took a team to the playoffs. Tim Tebow's thrown touchdown passes in the NFL, and Tim Tebow's won a playoff game. The next time Sean Payton develops a quarterback will be the first time.
Like I said, look, I mean, that again, I'm not harping on it, but it's just curious for me. That's all. And now hearing Taysom Hill literally just tell us, look, I've never been in a situation. Again, that was my point entirely yesterday. Why are you going out of character for fear of failure or fear of something if you don't have a reason to have fear of? Something has got to give you a reason to have fear. That was what I was trying to figure out. You get what I'm getting at now?
Well, I mean, yeah, but I mean, don't you think, I mean, do you disagree with what I said before about, mm-hmm, I'm not sure Denver could have scored no matter where they gave him the ball?
Agree, 100%. It's why I said yesterday, I mean, unless you're throwing five pick sixes, fumble the ball, can't get a first down, and literally are just tanking, and you can't tackle anybody, I don't know how you lose that game. Which is why I said just run the game plan that you had. That was my only thing. Again, you won by 30. I understand that. I'm just curious and wondering why you felt the need on Saturday to scrap that and go ultra conservative and make sure that nothing happened.
And Gus, one more point. I know you got to go. The thing is, if we're talking about just winning these games, the game plan's fine. But if you're trying to convince me that Taysom Hill's a quarterback for the future, I haven't seen it so far. I don't know what that's based on.
There you go. Sports Hangover.
All right. Have a good day.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. The fact that you're laughing at that, what? Something's really wrong with you.
What?
There's a picture of two walruses on some Arctic shelf, and the title in the text is The Wall / Russ Trades. Get it? John Wall, Russell
The Wall,
Westbrook.
Russ
You're
trade.
A joke. What
Get
are
it?
You, five? Sports Hangover continues next for Mr. Chris Blair and ESPN New Orleans.
Is pain putting a strain on your quality of life? Don't suffer in silence. Get relief at the Pain Center of Thibodaux Regional. Dr. Luis Hernandez and Dr. Keith Duplantis can provide solutions to neck, knee, and back pain, as well as pain associated with injury, arthritis, nerve damage, and migraines. Get help for your pain at the Pain Center of Thibodaux Regional. Call today, 985-493-4080, or go to Thibodaux.com.
If I'm not commuting anymore, where do I really want to live?
While you handle life's questions, Merrill Guided Investing helps you manage your portfolio and invest for your next move, with the option to work with an advisor at a low cost and minimum. Merrill, a Bank of America company. Visit MerrillEdge.com/investing goals to get started today.
Investing involves risk. Merrill Lynch, Pierce Fenner, and Smith Incorporated, both a registered broker-dealer and investment advisor, member SIPC. Investment products are not FDIC insured or not bank guaranteed and may lose value.
Hello, everybody. You're looking live at Fansville, a college football utopia.
Fansville.
Where the rivers flow with ice-cold Dr. Pepper.
Delicious.
Where every day is Saturday and everyone's a fan. Even babies.
Fan babies.
And the seasons never change because the only season is college football season. Get a taste of Fansville this fall during a college football game near you. Dr. Pepper, the official drink of Fansville. Grab some today.
Whatever you send through the U.S. Postal Service this season is so much more than mail or packages. In every carrier's hands is a card with your handwriting. In every box, on every truck, is your message that you care. We know how much goes into your holiday mail, especially this year, which is why we go the distance to bring you closer. Learn more at usps.com/closer.
Good afternoon.
Let's hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. As always, appreciate you checking in. If you do, 800-998-1003. You can tweet at us at ESPN Radio NOLA as well. LSU taking on Alabama. Primetime affair over on CBS, 7 o'clock. The Crimson Tide ranked number one in the country. As we bring in, as we like to do on Thursdays, Mr. Chris Blair, voice of the LSU Tigers. Sir, how are you today?
Doing great, Gus. Doing good, man. Looking forward to another game, man. Each one that you're able to check off the box. We're not there yet, but hopefully we will be on Saturday.
Yeah, especially with the way this season has definitely gone. And before we get into that, man, how nice is basketball? The fact that it's off and running, and it's going to be a weird and interesting season with that. But men's hoops, man, off and running with Will Wade.
Yeah, I think Coach Wade put it best on his radio show earlier this week. We're 3-for-3. You know, it was a little spotty to get started. They had to move locations from Lincoln, eventually going to St. Louis. But they got two games up there. They were able to add the game with Southeastern on Monday. So 3-for-3. So far, so good.
Have you had a chance to chat with Coach or just kind of get an idea of what the expectations are, what the SEC outlook are? We're going to talk a little bit more once, you know, football ends, but just kind of briefly, as it has started, kind of season are they expecting up in Baton Rouge with his team?
Yeah, no, I think they're excited just simply because of the personnel they bring back. I mean, you got a great core. I think about 46% of their offense from a year ago returns. And Javonte Smart, Darius Days, Trenton Watford, who all went for an NBA evaluation, got some good feedback, and now are coming back to LSU to try to work on their individual games and team games. And then, you know, you add some great transfers. Shareef O'Neal has been really, really good on the boards. He's looking to get a little more involved offensively as the season goes along. And then, of course, the talented newcomers. I mean, and there's a bunch. Eric Gaines is fun to watch on the floor at guard. Cam Thomas is right now an unstoppable force. I mean, his game at his level, I mean, you hear that a lot of times. Talented freshmen come in, takes a little bit of time to adjust to the speed of the game and the competition. And so far, Cam Thomas, he's second leading scorer in the SEC, not for freshmen overall. So, I mean, it's a pretty a good team Coach Will Wade's assembled. Certainly the most depth he's had since taking over here at LSU. Now, when you look at the SEC, I mean, you got the usual suspects, Tennessee and Kentucky. Kentucky's already, you know, dropped that to Richmond over the weekend and then came up short the other night to Kansas. But, you know, once the season comes around, I mean, it's going to be a battle. The good news is I think LSU's right there in the mix to be in the conversation down the stretch and may have a chance to, things fall their way, win another SEC title.
Wow, that's I'm not going to say unexpected, but that's good to hear then that he might have that strong a team. So obviously you got to play the games and let's see what happens. And then you throw in COVID and let's see how that takes place. Football still will be played though. Speaking with Chris Blair, voice of the LSU Tigers, at LSU Tigers Voice over on Twitter. So let's go back to last weekend because it's 20-7. That's the final. I look at stats and I look at totals. Look, they didn't pass for very many yards. They didn't rush for many yards. I thought the defense did as good a job as you can against a team that ranked that high. And then it was the offense just not, you know, getting things done. Now, obviously a lot of the focus has been the offensive line. But when you look at it, why did it feel like it was worse than 20-7? You understand what I mean?
No, exactly. I mean, if you watch that game, you know, just simply watch the game, It looked like it was a futile effort on the part of LSU, just the inability to move the ball, the inability to drive deep and get points, you know, the inability to convert on third downs and you know, forced 11 punts on the night. By the same token, you know, when you go and look at the stats, both teams 267 yards of offense, well below both teams' average, certainly well below Texas A&M's average. They also only converted on two third downs in the game, and they came into that matchup leading the nation at 62%. And, you know, Kellen Mond was ineffective for yet another time against LSU. So, you know, you look at the stats and you think, my goodness, how did LSU lose this game? Because it was the best defensive performance of the season. There was not a lot of communication problems. They looked to be set, knew where they were supposed to be pre-snap. Were able to just simply go and play free, play fast, and did an excellent job defensively against a pretty good Texas A&M offense. The problem was, just couldn't move the ball. And you knew that was going to be a challenge because A&M's defense, especially their defensive front, you know, second in the SEC when it comes to giving up rushing yards. So you knew it was going to be a challenge. But just ineffective offensively for the second time this year. You got to throw the Auburn game in there as well. Plus you had the turnovers again. And you just couldn't score points. I mean, the defense did everything they could do to give you a chance to win. I mean, they held Texas A&M basically to 13 offensive points. You know, you got a pick six in there that added to 20, but every opportunity in the world to win that game, and it was just a frustrating effort offensively.
That had to be the most frustrating element of it, right? Chris, when you look at it from that perspective, as you mentioned, that the defense playing to that, and I think it's also when you hear Coach Show, he said it after the game, he said it Monday, when he spoke with media, that I'm sure, you know, conference call Tuesday, he said it a lot this week, that it was just kind of scheming and adjustments and not really anything that you didn't expect, just not maybe the team players or staff adjusting to it. And I guess that just adds to the frustrating aspect of it where it's just kind of like, okay, well, you know, I heard him explain it on off the bench to T-Bob, just sliding protection a certain way. And if you just do that, you can handle it better. And it's got to drive him nuts to know all you had to do is just do that.
No question. I mean, I think that's, again, you know, I think some of that you notice as a coach on the sidelines. You certainly have it clear as you take a look at the film and break it down. And it was clear that coach felt like it was not their best effort on the offensive line, not only because of technique at times. There were a lot of Ole blocks, the same that we saw against Auburn several weeks ago, but, you know, then you had some scheme issues. and some call issues. And, you know, that's, you're not going to get far in the SEC against anybody if you have ineffective play at the offensive line. And certainly that's true this coming weekend. I mean, as good as Texas A&M's defense was, especially up front, I mean, you got a whole different animal rolling into town coming up Saturday night.
So let's speak about that game coming in Saturday night. Coach Saban feeling better, planning on coaching, obviously, in Tiger Stadium. That's one aspect of it. We know where they are. When LSU goes into this game, Chris, look, it's, you know, missing now Terrace Marshall as well, who caught a lot of those balls that led to that scoring drive over there in College Station a weekend ago. So let's just start at quarterback. How does Coach O go about this week? I know earlier in the week he said it's, you know, still early in the week, and we'll find out towards the end of the week. Where do you think he goes? Does he alternate? Does he go with one? Does he stick with both? I what do you feel he does?
Well, you know, talking to him last night, he didn't say definitively, but he said it looks like T.J. Finley, and then immediately followed up and said, you know, there's got to be some more discussion, some more, you know, talk about it with Steve Ensminger and obviously Scott Linehan. But then immediately said, yeah, I mean, we expect to see both because they really do offer two different skill sets. And that's why we saw the rotation come in a little sooner, I think, at Texas A&M, as Max Johnson got in the first half there, when they were pinned back deep inside their own 5-yard line, because there's just a little bit more mobility. And to be honest with you, watching Max at times, he was extending plays in the same fashion that Joe Burrow was successful doing for the last 2 years, certainly in 2019. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not comparing Max to Joe Burrow, don't get me wrong, but, you know, pretty much all night, you know, at the snap, they were only rushing three, sometimes four, sometimes they would have a fifth delayed blitz, but basically every time they got the ball in their hands, they were running. And, you know, Max was able to spin away, miss first contact, and extend plays a little bit. So I think all of that's going to dictate, A, the play of the offensive line and the ability or inability to run the football Saturday. I think that's going to be what determines, you know, who we see at quarterback and how often we see them change it up.
Finally, Chris, I think the way you look at this is it silly or simplistic, or maybe the KISS principle is kind of what pops in my head here? If I'm LSU, I don't even think of what I'm about to face. I look at it as win the play, win the drive, win the quarter series, win the half, win individual battles in front of you, and then see where the scoreboard are at the end of the game. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, I think that what you'll probably see from this team, again, you know, it's been another tough week. They come off a tough loss, miserable conditions over there with a pouring rain all night. And then just the frustration of, you know, one side of the team playing very hard and the other side, you know, not holding up their end of the bargain and you get hung an L on you. Plus you have Terrace Marshall deciding to hang it up on Sunday. So, you know, one of the leaders, we're told, both on the field and in the locker room, no longer is there. Mm-hmm. So you come into this matchup, everybody thinks you're, you know, a near 30-point underdog. It's you against the world. Nobody's giving you not only a chance to win, but they're not even giving you a chance to keep it close or make it contested. So I think you simple things down. You tell the guys and try to get the guys in position where they can just go out and play, not have to think, and take that attitude of, you know, we've got nothing to lose here. All the pressure is on the number one team right now in the college football playoff projection. And, you know, you lose this game if you're at Alabama, suddenly, because of LSU's season, yes, it's a somewhat rival game. But most people are going to feel like this game shouldn't be close. So I think all the pressure, again, falls on Alabama. In the same way I felt last year, all the pressure was on LSU going to Tuscaloosa. So hopefully you just keep it simple, go out and have fun. And, you know, you got to play, you know, 60 minutes of football. We'll see what happens when it's all clear.
Florida, following weekend of the regular season. You got hoops coming up, Chris, against La Tech, 5 o'clock on Sunday. And, of course, 7 o'clock, LSU and Alabama. Voice of the LSU Tigers joins us on Thursdays during the football season at LSU Tigers Voice. Thank you so much, sir. Looking forward to talking some basketball with you as well. Thank you for the preview of Will Wade's team. That should excite some LSU fans that haven't had their football season the way they liked it.
Oh, no doubt about it, Jeff. Yeah. You got to check out this basketball team. It's going to be fun. Yeah, it's always good to talk with you, man. Take care.
Sounds good, man. Take care. Quick break. When we come back, Gary Smith will go to Uptown New Orleans. Changes in the coaching staff there under Willie Fritz. We'll talk to him next on ESPN New Orleans.
Step right up and don't be shy. side. Because you will not believe your eyes.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Finally, it's here. The supermarket that Canal Street's been waiting for. Right between Canal and South Broad, the Big Easy Fresh Market is the locally owned, family-oriented market, complete with a cafe, a bakery, a deli, and some of the freshest produce and meats in town. Craving international food? No problem. The friendly staff will take care of your every need. Ready to start fresh? Make a note. The Big Easy Fresh Market, 2669 Canal Street. Like them on Facebook. Eat more fresh.
Men, are you having trouble with reduced energy, increased body fat, reduced libido, or even ED? Hey everyone, it's Gus Kattengill for Men's Total Health, and these are signs of hormone imbalance. I paid the clinic a visit in Metairie on Vets behind the Fidelity Building, and from Andrea's warm greeting to the understandable info from Shane, I learned how low T can impair immune response, cause insomnia, brain fog, and affect overall self-confidence. Improve quality of life and relationships. They accept all major insurances, so visit menstotalhealth.net today and let them know you heard it on the Sports Hangover.
Advanced Eye Institute in Cutoff is your hometown eye care provider. Dr. Darby Chasson is here to serve the eye care needs of your entire family. Full-service eye medical and vision services are provided in a friendly atmosphere. For the latest in designer frames to advancements in astigmatism and bifocal contact lenses, call Advanced Eye Institute at 985-632-2884 for your appointment today or visit their website at visionsource-drdarbychasson.com.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Only one performance a day.
Well, let's get this show on the road, eh?
Now back to The Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Our thanks to Chris Blair, voice of the Tigers there. We'll see what happens Saturday night. Were you surprised a little bit about Will Wade's basketball team there? It's just me. I mean, I'm trying to, you know, follow everything I can all at once. So let's see what happens when the season goes, but he said he has a shot, he thinks, to contend for an SEC championship. All right, over to Uptown New Orleans we go. We bring in Mr. Gary Smith. He covers the Green Wave for the Picayune and the Advocate at G-U-E-R Smith is the way to follow him on Twitter. Gary, good afternoon to you. How are you?
Doing well. A lot going on with Tulane this week.
There is a lot, yes. Let's start with what Coach Fritz had to say, and we'll get into obviously the game and everything, but look, he says there's a lot to play for, and they are, you know, mm-hmm. winning season and all that. So that game matters. But this week, I guess the rumors have come to fruition that we've heard for a while. We all knew Will Hall was going to be looked at.
Sure.
I think he was looked at last year a little bit, decided to come back mm-hmm. and all of that. He's now officially, as of yesterday, Southern Miss, the new head football coach over there. I guess not a surprise, huh?
Not a big surprise. Last year he was up for the Oregon offensive coordinator position, didn't get it. He's a guy in demand. He came in and his first year at Tulane, he inherited a pretty mediocre offense, and Tulane had the third highest scoring total and the third highest total yardage total in school history. That ain't bad for your first year. Then this year, they had the second highest scoring total in school history behind only the 1998 undefeated team, and that's with a true freshman quarterback, Michael Pratt, most mm-hmm. of the way. So he's gotten the job done in 2 years. He's an ambitious, young, aggressive coach, and so the only question to me was, did he want the Southern Miss job? I mean, it's a perfect fit for him. He grew up in Mississippi, as Willie Fritz says. He knows every single person in the state of Mississippi. he's a perfect candidate for that job. It's just, you know, the world we're in now, Conference USA is the bottom of the barrel in football. And so I wasn't sure whether he'd want to hang around another year and maybe get a Power Five job possibility. But if he wanted it, the job was going to be his.
being a Southern Miss alum, I'm excited because that school is in desperate need of leadership, direction, and just a plan, man. So,
and they have a great history from the past, I mean, yeah, in football.
But, I mean, dude, I went there 94 to 98. That's when you had Surtain, Adalius Thomas. Yep. I mean, they were going bowling, and, you know, you had some wins there. It's been a while, and they've gone through a ton of ADs and a ton of coaches, and it just doesn't – so I'm happy from that perspective for him. I think what's interesting when you look at what Will Hall's done, so as we review his time at Tulane, I think what he got the most out of quarterback last year was not bad. And really to see the development of Pratt, once Pratt became his quarterback, you can't help, even though the wins aren't where you want him to be.
Sure.
Pratt is a reason to be hopeful if I'm a Tulane fan moving forward. Would you agree?
No question. I mean, the guy, look, it's hard for a true freshman to start in college football. And then you look at Pratt, when he took over against Southern Miss off the bench, that was the same game where Ty J. Spears suffered a season-ending ACL injury. He was going to be a 1,000-yard running back. And his development week by week has been terrific. And you can just see the all-around skills that Pratt has. He's tough. He's a better runner than people think. He's smart, and he has really good touch on the deep ball. And his mental toughness, we'll find out this Saturday, because obviously that was a tough way for his last game to end against Tulsa, where the best player on the field, the linebacker for Tulsa, baits him into a pass and runs it back for a touchdown.
Yeah.
But from all I've seen from Michael Pratt, he's tough mentally too, and I think players are a lot more resilient than fans off of losses like that, honestly. Fans have a hard time recovering from games like that. Players tend to get back quicker, and I'd be surprised if Pratt lets that affect him on Saturday against Memphis.
I was going to say, I think there's one thing I have seen this year, that he is very calm, cool, and collective on that. And look, it's literally one of those things where, like, that guy's going to play on Sunday. It's probably going to go in the first round, and it was just a perfect play by him.
Yep.
And he'll learn, because when you look at that play, if he throws it a foot further – or leaves him a little bit more, that is a walk-in touchdown.
That's a touchdown.
That is a great call by Hall, great everything. Mm-hmm. It just
better play by the linebacker from Tulsa who was ready for it.
Bingo. Speaking with Gary Smith of The Advocate and Picayune covers the Wave. So that transitions us to, all right, well, then who's taking Will Hall's spot? Mm-hmm. And if you're going to replace Will Hall, I guess who better than his college roommate? And basically what I kind of hear is you're going to basically run the same offense. Got nice credentials. Tell us a little bit about Chip Long.
Yeah, Chip Long. I mean, you know, today Willie Fritz said no decision had been made, but he doesn't. He's a compartmentalizing guy. He wants to wait until after the Memphis game to discuss any of the stuff. But a source very close to the situation told me it's definitely trending this way, that Chip Long is going to be hired. You want to talk about a home run hire? This is a guy who in 2018 was one of the five candidates finalists for the Broyles Award, which goes to the top assistant coach in the country. This is Tulane. Hey, when Curtis Johnson was named coach, he hired Eric Price as his offensive coordinator. That guy had been coaching in Australia and had been let go from Hawaii before a season started, before he even coached a game there. Now Tulane's getting a guy who coached Notre Dame to a 32-6 record in his 3 years there as an offensive coordinator, and averaged over 30 points every year at Notre Dame. I'd say Chip Long has incredibly good credentials.
I reached out to somebody that's close to the program, played for him and everything, and it was Chip Bleepin' Long. And he was excited because I had to ask him, because, I mean, the bleep is the words, the four-letter word that can be used in a ton of different ways, right? So I had to, are you upset or are you happy? Yeah. And he was like, no, he said same thing that you said, a home run hire if that's eventually where it goes. But I guess that's the important aspect of this, because I think what's interesting is Tulane's transitioning, and correct me if I'm wrong, because of Pratt, to a team that's going to throw the football a bit more. So the receivers you recruit, not maybe the blocking receivers that you've had. You need guys that it's killed them this year that can catch, right? I mean, that can actually drops has hurt this team. Your offensive linemen that you recruit, that's different. You need big, beefier guys to pass protect instead of maybe smaller, more agile that can run block. So that's going to be the interesting part of this transition, because I think who you hire and where you go because of your quarterback that you have dictates now your recruiting.
Yeah, I agree. Well, if you look at the suddenly Tulane is recruiting quarterbacks who on the recruiting services are listed as pro-style quarterbacks as opposed to dual-threat quarterbacks. Even Ty Keyes, the guy they got from that's a commitment from Mississippi, who was a four-star until he committed to Tulane, and then the services downgraded into three-star. That's the sneaky – that's the way the recruiting businesses work. He's a pro-style quarterback. The offense is definitely changing. It was still a run-first offense, but it was much more balanced than it used to be. And absolutely, Tulane, they've realized that to compete for a conference championship, you have to have the passing game. And that's what Will Hall had implemented into the offense. And if Chip Long becomes the next coordinator, he'll pick up where Will Hall left off.
Let's close with this final game, obviously, against Memphis. Look, the conference switched it around so they could play against Navy, 10-7 there. In all the years that you've covered Tulane, the years that I've been a part of it, Memphis is never a good matchup. It just isn't.
No.
So I know there's a lot that Coach Fritz really feels getting this, whether it's bowl, whether it's a third straight year, you know, a winning season, all these different things that really, really matter to him and the program trending in the other direction. So how big – can you maybe get a guess what I'm trying to get at in a sense where for Memphis it's not as big a game, whereas for Tulane it's a bigger game?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Memphis still has an outside chance to – for championship game, if they win their last two and Tulsa loses their last two, and one of Tulsa's games is against Cincinnati, so they're going to lose that one. But so it's a pretty big game for Memphis too. But yeah, it's a huge game for Tulane. Hey, the one time that Tulane's beaten Memphis in their last 9 or 10 tries was 2 years ago at Yeoman Stadium. That is the only game that Willie Fritz has won against a team that finished with a winning conference record in the American Athletic Conference. And Tulane just spanked Memphis that day. It was a seasonal, it was the conference opener in 2018. Tulane was up 40-10 midway through the fourth quarter, won 40-24. This Memphis, you know, Tulane's favored in this game. Tulane's favored by 1.5, which tells you something about how Memphis' season has gone this year. They've got a good record. They're 6-2, but they've won a lot of close games against some bad teams. But basically, they've won games at the end of games coming behind, and Tulane's lost games coming from ahead. Otherwise, their records would be reversed. And I think Tulane might have an advantage on the defensive line this year. Memphis has really struggled with their offensive line. That may be the difference, because if you give their quarterback, Brady White, time to throw, I mean, he torched Tulane. Memphis scored touchdowns on all 5 first-half possessions. It had last year, and Tulane could not stop Brady White and the Memphis receivers. If the defensive line can take control of that Memphis offensive line, it could be more like 2 years ago when Tulane sacked Brady White 7 times. That's going to be – Tulane wants to do everything possible so that having to make plays in the secondary doesn't come into play in the outcome of this game.
Gary Smith, give him a follow over on Twitter at GUERSmith. Great work as always. Always appreciate the time you give us, man. Have a good weekend.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, for sure. Quick break. Boom. Just like that, Jordan Hour 1 is in the books. It's been brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King, 504-909-KING. My triplet in about 15 minutes. Ben Heisler, fantasy football questions at the bottom of the next hour. Don't go anywhere on ESPN New Orleans.